Kia ora, a huriri te tangata, tōhiwi te marae, kei kaua poitaku kāinga I noa nei, ko Joseph Hallin tōku ingoa. My name is Joseph Hallin, and I'm a trustee on Matapōpuri. We're standing on the corner of Colombo and Armagh Street, in front of Queen Victoria. The pepeha, or the text, at my feet, talks about the aspirations of Ngaitahu in Kemp's Purchase. The text reads, Ko o mātou kāinga nohoanga, ko a mātou mahinga kai, me waiho mārie mō a mātou tamariki, mō muri iho I a mātou. And literally translated means, we believe that the places where we lived and the places where we generated and gathered our kai would be set aside for, not just for us, but for our children and the descendants who came after us. So the pepeha's there to remind us of the breach in the contract at the time. It was the starting point of the Ngaitahu claim, which would take 170 something years to resolve. It's appropriately located in front of Queen Victoria. In 1869, Matiaha Tere Moerehu wrote a petition protesting to Queen Victoria. For many years, Victoria Square only held one indication of the treaty partner relationship between Queen Victoria, the Crown, and Ngai Tuahuriri. The only thing that was here was the statue of Queen Victoria. Ngai Tuahuriri's desire was always to have some artwork to speak to the treaty partner relationship between Crown and Māori. And so Mana Motuhake, the installation we have here, created by Fane Robinson, talks to that relationship. If I was to be critical, I would say that perhaps it's still not indicative of a true treaty partner relationship, because Mana Motuhake is located behind and on both flanks of Queen Victoria, rather than kanohi ki te kanohi, or facing her directly.
Kia ora, this is Fane Robinson. I'm standing here with Mana Motuhake, or the two waka sculptures that are standing either side of Queen Victoria. So we're just sort of walking into the main entrance of Victoria Square now and heading towards the waka that's on the right of Queen Victoria. The two waka are actually the same design. Each have three ancestors represented inside the waka. And these are all to do with the signatories of the Kemp Purchase. We have Tuhuwaiki, Iwiko, who were quite significant people. And what I've tried to do is connect the eyes of Queen Victoria to the eyes of the ancestors that were used inside the waka, looking in the same direction, fixated on the same point. So we're all sort of working on the same kaupapa, being one. Victoria Square was actually an old trading post back in the day with our mahinga kai, next to the Avon or the Otakaro River. So the waka was sort of like an acknowledgement of a vessel that was used for gathering kai, you know, for working the rivers. And also, sometimes when you see a waka that's standing upright, it's an acknowledgement of a significant event. We're actually at the back of the hull now. So we're using a puhoro up the top. That's just a design that talks about the movement of going from this point to that point in the most direct line. You usually see it on a wakatoa or something which was used for warfare. But we're using it in this sense just to show a direction of movement. We were trying to move in that one direction. And then the design sandblasted down the edge here talks about the landscape that we're in as a trading post. And we've even run the design back and through the bluestone, which is the plinth. Tō tēnō ranga te rātanga, this is the sovereignty flag that was used back in that time. And it was under that banner where the negotiations took place. We had our flag, the Crown had their flag, and at the end of the day we joined under one flag. We wanted to maintain our identity. We didn't want to get lost in society. The idea, I suppose, was to be able to work as one but still maintain all of those integral points that make us who we are.